My guy.
What's up?
Oh my God, we're actually recording this.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while.
Yeah, how you feeling?
Good.
Good.
I'm doing good. A lot better than earlier in the week.
That's good to hear. Being sick sucks. Yeah. It
does. But we survived it.
Yep. Let's get it.
How have you been, man? You've been to Dynamite, everything.
Yeah, I'll tell my story about Dynamite. I'm old, I'm tired. I have kids. sore. But it was a long day at work, but nothing that some few beverages, adult beverages can't help, and talking about pro wrestling. Because, dude, there's a shit ton of news we got to talk about.
Exactly. I know there has been, and I've been out of the loop. But let me welcome everybody first to Unscripted Violence. It's me, Staggered Lee, along with Jason, the man, the myth, the legend.
Oh, man, don't make my head too big here now.
Right. I had to put you over somehow.
I call myself that anyway. But anyway, what do you want? What do you want? Do you want the GCW news I got first? Do you want the AEW, all the crazy AEW news I got? What do you want first?
You know, I always want GCW news.
Yeah, you're really gonna like this, and I actually kind of liked it. So, do you want the rib that they're playing, or do you want the news first?
They're doing a rib.
Yeah. So if you remember, WrestleMania, the owner Brett Lauderdale posted pics of being at WrestleMania and thanking Stephanie, and then they took a picture together, and people start spreading rumors saying that, because back in the day WWE used to help fund ECW. Well, there was rumors going around that they were helping fund GCW. So I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I don't know, something like that. But Joey Janela, or whatever Jim Cornette calls him, and Brett Lauderdale would text out, "Watch Monday Night Raw tonight. It's a great show. It's the number one show on cable, blah, blah, blah. Keep watching Raw." So this starts spreading fuel to the fire that WWE was going to buy GCW. Well, that's fake. They were just having some fun and messing around with people, trying to play off the rumors that WWE was going to buy GCW. They're not going to buy GCW. I don't think
that they would even touch GCW right now.
They don't let their own wrestlers bleed on TV. Why are they going to buy a deathmatch company? When you have stockholders and things like that, you can't do that. But it was funny just because Janela and Brett were playing up the fact of telling people to watch Raw and things like that. So it was pretty funny, Rip. But the big news.
There's a Brett Lauderdale with Stephanie. I remember those.
Yeah, I don't even know what that was all about. But
it was a while ago, though.
Yeah, it was around WrestleMania time.
Yeah.
But the big news, so November 1st, GCW will announce that they have found a streaming partner. And that streaming partner is going to be Fight Plus. So GCW, a bunch of other indies that are higher known. I don't know the name.
Right.
It's still out there. But apparently they're going to have a streaming service on Fight Plus where after something... What's being rumored is going to be is that after an event has been shown on Fight TV, if you have the streaming service, you'll be able to watch it for up to 1 month after it aired.
Oh, okay. So is it a monthly subscription?
Yes, a monthly subscription. So
I might have to invest in that with all the GCW I watch.
Well, that was one of my one complaints. I watch so much wrestling the way it is now. And I like I have no problem with GCW. I think people take it the wrong way when I say some of the stuff I do. I don't have a problem with GCW. I like GCW. I like all wrestling companies that give guys and gals a chance to make a living. That's just not WWE like it was for 20 years. But for some of these indies and some of these other places to maybe have a platform where, if you're on Fight Plus and, a lot of big names show up at some of these indie,
That might be good for DCW, whose events I go to out here.
Yeah.
Devotion airs a lot of their, almost all their TV on Fight. So I wonder if they'll go over to it, because that would be nice to see.
It's supposed to be AEW and a bunch of top name independent companies. So we'll see. Expect an announcement November 1st, which is next Monday. No, next Tuesday. Next Tuesday. There should be a formal announcement. So that's the GCW news I got for you. One last thing Brett Lauderdale said, because somebody asked him about the Moxley contract. And he said, I don't think we'll see Moxley right away in GCW. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not quoting for, you know, verbatim, but he said if there's a feud and there's somebody he wants to fight, I'm sure we'll find a way to make it happen. So people that were worried that Moxley was just, because if you read the press report when they put it out, it was, you know, they pretty much said he'll only be fighting for AEW and their subset like New Japan and other things like that. But I think we'll see. It might not be right away.
They were kind of pissed that Moxley was fighting that night. Well, they were kind of seemed like, well, just from what I read, that they seemed a little pissed off, and he told them, you know what, I got a date tonight. I'm going to wrestle tonight no matter what. Well, and really the match wasn't that great.
But it was like I told you whenever I said I had a problem with Moxley being the champion. One of your top stars is a champion in another company that's low. Let's be real. GCW is behind AEW. And then you have to have him lose that title when he's your champion. Because when this match was made, you know, Moxley was supposed to be on his vacation and, you know, he wasn't supposed to be champion and things like that. So, you know, I could get where Tony Khan's coming from. Like, I don't want one of my top stars, my champion right now, losing to, you know, Nick Gage is great. I love Nick Gage. I have Nick Gage merchandise. But it just kind of, you know, kind of looks
it was weird. It was a disappointing match, to say the nicest about it. It wasn't the greatest match in the world. This has me wondering about Nick Gage's place in the company, because how is he going to go on? The guy can barely move.
Yeah. Yeah, but who else were you gonna have Moxley honestly drop the belt to?
Well, nobody else. That would be the only logical choice for it all. But maybe they could have went about it a different way or something. The match just wasn't. Which was sad because it was a beautiful scene. Yeah. It was right along the beach and everything, and just it was great.
That's my one thing that I like. I won't say I hate death matches. I like some death matches. I do like some, but the wear and tear that it has to take on your body is just amazing. And
oh yeah, you can tell that Nick Gage has been through some wars, and right. I mean it's been what, like a 20-year career of death match wrestling.
Yeah, that shit takes a toll. Takes a toll.
It's gonna do something, but the match itself, I mean, producer Joe and I talked about it the other week.
Coming from Moxley, you don't want to risk getting a bad injury, probably, because you know you don't want to have to like they don't want to you know have to have another interim AEW champion or something because he can't wrestle because he got hurt in a GCW ring or something. I think that's one thing that we're gonna see a lot more. Like Tony Khan's been really lenient on letting a lot of his wrestlers do indie bookings, but I think when this new TV deal comes around, and I got some pretty big news on that here in a little bit, I think you're going to start seeing a little bit more of that shut down a little bit. Just, I mean, it's cool. Yeah, Tony's a fan of wrestling. He likes to see other companies succeed too, but just imagine if one of your guys gets hurt in an indie ring, then you're the one who really takes the
no shit. For it, he's going to be the one eating the shit for it.
Yeah, so, I commend him on what he does, but I think at a certain time, you got to be like, okay, hey, you know, yes, do the bookings that you've agreed to, but let's kind of start cutting the ending short. But let's get to one of my favorite fucking conversation pieces, what they're now calling Brawl Out, because it happened at All Out, the media scrum between CM Punk, Kenny Omega, and Ace Steel. So I don't know if we talked about this last time that we talked, but it seemed that the investigation was going nowhere because somebody was threatening legal action is what was said. And it wasn't supposedly the Bucks, Punk, Omega, or Steel, because they had already been interviewed for the investigation. So that.
Right.
So then Tuesday, when I get to Dynamite, word comes out that Ace Steel had been fired, which Kenny Omega was on TV with that bite mark that he had received from. It was a pretty, pretty bad bite mark. And honestly,
yeah, I got a pretty good impression that he was fired.
Yeah, well, it was just, they were just waiting for the investigation. And, you know, honestly, if there's going to be one fall guy out of this whole situation, it was going to be Ace Steel, no matter if he bit him or not. It was just So Tuesday at Dynamite.
The fact that, like you said, no matter if he, but he did bite him. I mean, that was.
Yeah, but I don't care. The whole thing pisses me off because if you know anything about sport, here's what pisses me off about the whole situation. Okay, it's some grown ass men. They had a fight in the locker room. Who fucking cares? Like, really?
Yeah, it happened.
I'm a big sport fan, and I know you're really not, but like a month ago at the Golden State Warriors, they're the defending NBA champions. So you have Jordan Poole, who's a younger up-and-coming player, looking for a new contract. And then you have Draymond Green, who's an older veteran who's been with the team for a long time. They get into an argument, and then Draymond Green, I swear to God, knocks this fucking dude out. And it's on camera. The video gets released on TMZ. What do? Draymond Green goes away from the team for a little bit, comes back, everything's all hunky-dory. Not some fucking investigation, not some fucking I just don't get it. But anyway, so
right.
Tuesday at Dynamite, during the Trios match, the Young Bucks were mentioned as being, or the Elite were mentioned as being the first Trios champion. CM Punk was shown in the montage of old ROH world champions, along with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins and
people. Yeah, like that. I did notice that.
So I popped pretty hard when I saw that in arena. And then, Wednesday, it's come out like, hey, the investigation's probably wrapping up. We'll probably see the Bucks soon because they were also in a Rampage commercial later on that night and blah, blah. So then it starts to get released that AEW is looking to buy out CM Punk's contract. But the holdup in buying out said contract is him not wanting a non-compete clause and Tony Khan wanting one. So that the fact that he can't go to WWE. Now,
hang on, can you go back about?
Okay, so what did I say? So they said there was going to be a buyout of the contract, of CM Punk's contract. But the only holdup was that Tony Khan wanted a non-compete and CM Punk didn't. For the fact that rumors were going around that he would go back to WWE. Now, would he go back to WWE? I don't know. Would Triple H have him back? I'm sure he would. Triple H is all about creating buzz right now.
You know, at this point, I would say that there's a strong possibility he might.
He's not leaving AEW. I'm going to tell you right now. The whole thing, I was reading this article before we got on the air, and it was from some journalist, and he was like, if you're believing the buyout, it's even Dave Meltzer today reported. He thinks that and Meltzer doesn't know, and I fucking hate Dave Meltzer. He blocked me on Twitter. Fuck that guy. But anyway,
I'm with you. Fuck Dave Meltzer. I don't like a lot of his shit.
He's a loser. But he said that when it's your top draw, which is CM Punk. CM Punk is the top draw in AEW. I don't care what anybody fucking says. The numbers back it up. He's the draw.
It's true. Numbers don't lie.
They're not going to let him go. So Punk's going to be back, I'm pretty sure. The Young Bucks and Omega, I'm sure, will be back soon. Punk will probably get a surprise return in 6 months to challenge MJF. When MJF, because MJF's going to win the title at Full Gear, and we'll get into that later. But it's just so stupid that, like, Keller.
I think, if anything, that they just need to work the whole thing. Just put it into a work.
They will eventually.
Just be smart about it. Let's not work backwards off of it. Let's go ahead.
Well, and that's why I didn't want anything to happen right away. Let's let stuff cool down a little bit. Let's just get everybody into a room. Can you imagine the buy rate or the rating or whatever you want to compare numbers to of Punk and Omega? It would be fucking through the roof. So
huge.
There's too much money to be left on the table. Punk's not going anywhere. The Bucks aren't going anywhere. Omega's not going anywhere. I think it's stupid. I think we'll see it all resolved here pretty soon. It was reported that Tony Khan pitched a ROH show to Time Warner Discovery, and a all women's wrestling show where it'd be nothing but women talent on the show. Now, rumor is that either they're thinking about it or they said no. But then,
well, number one, Tony Khan's got to learn how to book women. He doesn't know how to book the women.
Well, if it goes to an all women's division, you have to book women because it's all fucking women. So that would clear up that problem. But
yeah,
Time Warner came out and said that they love AEW. They love the ratings that they bring, and they have announced that a documentary type series is going to be filmed from, I want to say, maybe the beginning of Full Gear until Winter is Coming, that is going to follow back, and it's going to be released in 2023.
That would be amazing to watch. I wouldn't mind watching that.
And then Tony Khan commented that he's kind of doing away with the rankings for right now. He's understood.
Of course, like, he is.
Because I've been complaining about this shit forever. Like, I like how they were gonna have it, but you gotta use it. But in wrestling,
it's not working. It's not working at all.
Not working at all. So
it doesn't. I think he's realizing that when it comes to telling a story, it's really not useful for him to have it, you know.
Well, and the thing is, you sent everybody to Dark and all this other places to get like fucking wins, and then all of a sudden they're in the top five, and it's like, the fuck? I haven't seen them on Dynamite in fucking months. How are they? FTR's been the number one fucking contender, like I've complained about for like the last 8 months, and they still haven't got a fucking title shot. But whatever. So look for that to go away.
They brought that up. They did bring that up. I was wondering when they would, but.
Well, I think what you're going to see is when they come out, you might see a ranking by their name, but they're not really going to mention it on TV as much. So that's good. So there was a report today also that came out that Time Warner Discovery is looking to sign AEW to a long-term agreement, and that they realize the ratings that they pull, the demo that they pull, how young of a company they are, and that they're going to try to start classifying them as sports instead of entertainment. So live sports gets a lot more money in the TV landscaping than entertainment does, and I think that's only a big boost for AEW, because they've been showing their commercials for AEW during the baseball playoffs.
Yeah,
and they've been doing that for a reason, to get the name out there, and I think you're gonna see a lot more. I'm pretty sure we'll hear about a new TV deal probably in the spring or the fall. They know that they got a really good deal for 4 or 5 years with AEW from what they've been paying them. So look for them to get, you know, Brandon Thurston, who I listen to a lot on WrestleNomics, is thinking they'll get 4 or 5 times the amount of money that they're getting now. So right now they're getting like 46 roughly million a year. So if you 4 or 5 times that a year, that's going to be like 160 to 200 million a year. And then he'll be able to sign a lot more free agents if they want to. They'll probably get another show. They'll be able to do stuff to the production, the sets, things like that. And it'll only be good news for AEW.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds great.
Some weird news. The Varsity Blondes are no longer the Varsity Blondes. They are just called the Blondes. They have dropped the Varsity from the name. And they have gave Tony Nese and who's the other guy? Woods. The name, the Varsity Club. Was it the Varsity Club, like the Mike Rotunda, Kevin Sullivan, Rick Steiner group back in the day?
That was the not the Varsity Club. It was Varsity Squad.
So I don't know if they're going to play off that.
It was the Varsity Squad.
I thought it was the Varsity Club. I could be wrong, but
I think it was Squad. Like, for some reason.
We'll check that out later. We'll check that out later.
Yeah, we'll double check it.
I think there was some other Wade Keller or might have been Meltzer, one of the two, is reporting that he heard that MJF got an extension, not just through 2024 but longer, but they're going to use that as a storyline. So when MJF wins the belt at Full Gear, we'll probably see him hold it all the way up until 2024. Probably see a year-long title reign from MJF. So I mean, that's pretty cool. Chris Jericho signed an extension for like 3 more years, so he's with the company until like early January 2026. He also signed kind of the same deal as Moxley did, where it's kind of going to be like part of creative, part mentor.
How do you think he's doing for ROH? I think he's doing a great job. I think he's doing.
Yeah, it's just they need their own show. They just need.
Yeah, because we need to stop watching Dynamites that are all ROH promotions like this one was.
But like this one wasn't really a hard ROH show. It was just a Dalton
Castle. Oh, not really. But I mean, it was inherent.
But last Tuesday, the Dynamite that I was at in Cincinnati, which I'll talk about my experience here in a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Went up head to head with NXT, with Dynamite beating NXT like 760,000 viewers to like 660 or something like that. So it was kind of close, but AEW won the night in the ratings.
Still, that's not saying much until they compete with SmackDown numbers or Raw numbers. I honestly never care.
Yeah, it was really weird because the show started off with like a million viewers and then ended up in like the low sevens, which is really weird, which I'll talk about later. But it's just, it's like people watch like the first half of the show and then they stop watching in the second half of the show. But
I don't know what goes on there. I really don't.
Well, it's, I mean, how do I want to say this without being a dick? Like,
you're not being a dick.
Well, like some people like the Orange Cassidy gimmick and the best friends and the Penta, but other people don't, and they lose viewers. They just do. And
I couldn't see that losing all that just over that though.
Well, it started to go down there, and then it really went down with the Dalton Castle Jericho match, which I don't know if it's because
it was the best match on the card, if you ask me.
Dude, it was fucking great. I'll talk about my experience in the crowd, but
That was like one of the best matches I've watched. Like,
yeah, it
was, wild.
It was almost like an all-time dynamite, what a bunch of people said. It was really good, but we'll get into that. That might be it. If I think of something else, it's just CM Punk. They released like who sells the most merchandise and things like that. And of course, it was like Punk, like 2-1. Over anybody, and it was really weird. Like Sheeta was in the top 10. It was really weird. Like, I don't know who's buying Sheeta merchandise, but it's really crazy. But
yeah, I don't think buying Sheeta merchandise. That's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. But apparently they are. So I'm gonna talk a little bit about my Dynamite experience. Dynamite from where I live here in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm gonna talk a little bit about the dark. First, and then we'll get into the show. But doors
so
open.
Did they film Dark first?
Yeah, they filmed Dark first.
Okay.
So doors open at 6. We got right in. Went straight to the merch stand, which I'm wearing right now. My very own "Oh Scissor Me Daddy" event only T-shirt that Sweet. I got while I was there. Yeah. What I found really, really cool was they were still selling CM Punk merchandise, which I'm like, okay, he's not going anywhere. He's not.
Yeah, there's another thing affirming that. Yeah.
You're still selling his merch. They had, I wish I had more money. They had an AEW replica belt on sale for $800, which, oh my God, it's a lot of money. They were selling an...
Worth $800, you think?
Dude, I love that belt. I would buy it if I had the money. But
it's a beautiful belt. I think that's one of the most beautiful titles that's graced
that I've ever seen. Yeah, I agree. I put it up there with the old Ric Flair WCW Championship.
It's right up there with it. Definitely. I think when they made that, they had that in mind. You know?
Yeah. They had an MJF large autographed shirt for $100. I didn't have that much money with me, or I probably would have bought it. But a lot of people, it seemed like, were buying the "Oh Scissor Me Daddy" T-shirt. That's, like I said, it's an event-only T-shirt. You can only buy it at live events. And compared from the first time I was there, there was a lot more merchandise this time. When I went last year, it was the Dynamite after CM Punk's first match. And they literally only had, like, they had CM Punk Best in the World shirts, Adam Cole shirts, and they had, like, Britt Baker towels. And that was all they had. That was, like, it. And this time... This time they had a lot more stuff. So on Dynamite, it was really crazy. Eddie Kingston got probably one of the hugest pops of the night. It was fucking crazy. People went absolutely apeshit for Eddie Kingston. Him and Ortiz fought in a match. They fought some no-names, of course. And it was really weird because, like, the no-name guys were, like, getting a lot of offense early. And then Kingston came back. They got the win. And then Eddie did the thing where, like, he starts beating up the guys after the referee had already made the count.
Right.
And then Eddie Kingston would jump back in to beat the shit out of the no-game guys. And then Ortiz would pull him out, and then they would come back, and he would come back and beat the shit out of the guys. It was pretty cool. Let's see. The Varsity Art.
Did he get DQ'd over it?
Yeah, it was on Dark this past. It was on Dark yesterday? I think it was on Dark yesterday. I think that's when it aired. No, they didn't disqualify him. They finally pulled him to the back.
Okay.
The Blondes came out. Brian Pillman's from Cincinnati, Ohio, so he got a huge pop. It was a good match. I think they fought the Work Horsemen, if I remember right.
That would have been an excellent tag match. I love the Work Horsemen.
It was very good. And then, I'm trying to think who else was on there. Like, my mind's going freaking blank. But the main event was Claudio, my boy Claudio, versus QT Marshall. Some highlights from it. He did the spin where he spun QT round. I think we counted to like 30. And then we kept yelling one more time. And then he tried to do it again. And then QT got away. But then Claudio ended up getting the win in the main event of Dark, which was really cool. I'm glad I got to see Claudio wrestle live again. That was really, really neat.
Yeah. That's got to be fun for you.
I forgot one other thing. And I'll talk about what happened after the show went off of the air, which I really love. But, so Matt Hardy comes out with the Firm. And Ethan Page and Stokely Holloway go to the commentary booth. So Matt Hardy's fighting, I forget, it's some no-name. But he's fighting him, he's wrestling him, and he's getting ready to hit the Twist of Fate. And Ethan Page gets on the mic and he says, "Hey, you can't use that move no more. That's my move. I've taken it from you. You're not allowed, per your contract, to use that move." So then the other guy gets some offense on Matt Hardy. He's kept doing the delete. He's teasing the delete coming back. But then he finally gets the guy, hits him with the Twist of Fate, pins him 1-2-3. So then Tony Schiavone does an interview with him, and he starts pushing Stokely Holloway, and he's getting in Ethan Page's face. And they say, "Hey, you're suspended now for pushing your manager. You're fined, I think they said $100,000. And he said, "You can no longer use the Twist of Fate. That's now my move, and I'm going to start calling it the Page Turner." Get it, Ethan Page? The Page Turner. Thought it was pretty cool. It was a nice little segment for the crowd. Like I said, it probably aired on Dark yesterday. And I heard when it aired on
Twitter. Momentum towards Page, too, who needs to get something under him.
And I thought it was pretty cool. They said on, I saw where it aired on Dark yesterday. Remember when Matt Hardy used to do the V1 and he would have like the Matt facts?
Yeah, I love that.
They had the Firm facts when he showed up on Dynamite on Dark, and it said Matt likes to eat unseasoned chicken. I thought it was funny. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But the crowd was super hot for Eddie and for Claudio. The crowd went absolutely fucking nuts. And then we can go and get into Dynamite, and I'll kind of tell some things that maybe people didn't see or maybe not had noticed while they're in the live crowd.
Hang on, we got disconnected.
Are you back? Are you there? Hello? So I was just saying, we can go into Dynamite. I'll kind of tell some things maybe that were going on in the crowd. Maybe some things people didn't hear on TV or see. This was such a great Dynamite, though. I might be a little biased because I was there live, but I've heard other podcasts that I listen to say that this was like an all-timer. If maybe the main event match didn't end the way it did prematurely, which we'll talk about, but man, this was a great wrestling show.
Yeah, that disappointment. Well, it was disappointing that anybody got hurt.
I might be biased too, like I said, but this crowd, like in the arena, it sounded deafening. I hope it. The TV, like
I think the crowd came up pretty hot. Yeah,
dude, we were fucking on. I mean, all night long, dude. It was fucking crazy. But
that's awesome. Yeah, and no, unless you're really there to see it.
Right.
But we started off with the AEW World Trios Championship match, Death Triangle versus Best Friends with Orange Cassidy. And I did not watch the week before to see Orange Cassidy won the title, because I was sick all week.
Yeah, I kept telling you that you were going to like the main event. I wanted to tell you also what was funny, because this happened in Toronto. And so apparently before he got the 1-2-3, they put out the blasters to shoot the confetti so people knew what was getting ready to happen, so they were getting really excited. So after Orange Cassidy won, your girl, Chris Statlander, came out and brought a backpack, and Orange Cassidy said, "You know, I guess he said to the live crowd, I'm not really one that likes to hold stuff, so I'm just going to put this belt in the backpack and just carry it around like that. So that's why
he did that when he was internet champion, yeah. Like back in the indies. He used to he carried around his titles. So I was happy to see that.
Yeah, that's why he did it on this night. He brought it out with the backpack again. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was happy to see him do that. Okay, cool. So he's not straying too far from where he was at the indies, and it just gave, I don't know, music and everything, it took me back.
One thing I wanted to ask you, and this kind of goes along with a lot of what happened in this card and some of AEW's other cards, especially like the Punk Moxie main event and other things. How are you with faces facing faces all the time?
You know, this whole show, honestly, like, I didn't like the way it was booked at all.
It was all faces versus faces.
I thought it was not only faces versus faces, but it was also a lot of repeat matches, which I was, like, wondering, are we following, like, a Monday Night Raw type feel to this?
Well, and it's like,
I don't know if you felt that, but I kind of felt that way.
I don't mind rematches, like, if they're necessary. Like
how many weeks in a triangle? Best friend.
You kind of beat me to my point. I was going to say when it's necessary. Like, how many see this match?
Yeah.
Before we move on, and especially you made a trio title because you have a bunch of trios. Why not have Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends fight somebody else? Or why not?
Yeah, I thought it was a bit lazy in the booking.
And the thing is, there's so much talent that doesn't get used, and or having repeats. Like I don't like the argument that there shouldn't be rematches, because there should be, but we don't have to do them over and over and over again. And it's like, why aren't you using some other talent? But you know, this match though live was fucking sick.
I liked the match. I thought it was a great match.
The part where they did the turnbuckle spot, where they did like the triple superplex or whatever, that was fucking sick. It was like right in front of me. It was so awesome. Right.
Oh, cool. So what else did you notice about the match that was...
People really like to do the Penta thing with the Sierra, the three fingers and the down, because he does that a lot. That got the
Zero Merito or whatever.
Yeah, that gets the crowd popping. The crowd was just hot, dude. Because like I said, that the dark taping was actually really good. And like I said, Claudio was the last match, and then Tony Khan came out. I booed Tony Khan. Other people cheered. But,
did you?
Yeah, fuck Tony Khan.
I'm not
happy with Tony right now. And I mean, I love Tony Khan. I think this whole thing should have been fucking handled in-house. We didn't need a fucking investigation. You don't need to have people talking about people getting bought out and what people like. I don't like the way he handled the whole thing at what people call him Brawl Out. And I don't like the way he handled the Sammy and Andrade thing. We really didn't talk about that. I don't like the way he handled that. I don't like how Cincinnati's a live crowd and we get one show a year. I don't like how they go to the same places over and over and over. I wanted to boo that motherfucker. That was one thing I wanted to talk about. Like, John Moxley had a meet and greet, which I didn't be able to get to go to because Mondays are like our busiest day at work and I couldn't leave early.
But yeah.
He did a meet and greet with some people and my buddy went and he sent me a picture, which I was like, fuck you, asshole. But Tony Khan held one before the Rampage in Jacksonville on Friday and nobody came. Like, literally nobody showed up. So, hopefully maybe
got sad.
Somebody took a picture and it was like just him and his assistant standing around and like nobody showed up. I think it's fucking hilarious. But anyway.
Well, it kind of is, because it should show you like how people are feeling about you at the moment.
But the crowd was kind of crazy when Pac went to go get the hammer that he's been doing, trying to turn heel.
And yeah.
Ray Phoenix stopped him. So like people were kind of on edge on what was going to happen there.
And Phoenix took it away from him. Ray Phoenix did, and threw
out. Yeah.
So, then Orange got Pac with the Orange Punch. And then, was it Ray Phoenix? He got a double cutter on the Best Friend?
Yeah, bro, that was sick, and that really popped the crowd. The crowd went crazy for that.
And, he and it shows that they should move on from this feud. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, like sometimes you have to have an end to a feud, like S and the Blackpool Combat Club. Like it's still going on. Like when you had the Blood and Guts match, that should have been the end of the fucking feud. That's a feud killer right there. That ends the feud. And they're right. Still going on. And I'm so tired of the Garcia. I'm going with Danielson. I'm turning back.
That's been like a slow burn that should have been turned off a long time ago.
Yeah,
but
anyway.
I'm sick of it. Sick of Daniel Garcia. But
I think this should have been on Dark to get the crowd going for the live TV show. That's just me. But it was a great match. It was cool to see live. I mean, Orange Cassidy doing some cool moves, Pac and them. I mean, I've seen Pac live a few times, or Pac, whatever you want to call him. But
I saw him back when he was Neville.
Yeah.
At a house show, which was, he's great live.
Yeah, it was a good opener. There was a lot of Orange Cassidy fans there, I'll say that. And not that I was surprised by it, but a few people dressed like him. There was a dude dressed like Brother Love in the front row.
Which wow. Was
and I mean, it was a good opener, I guess. It was good.
Cool. Then next, I wasn't a fan. We had the AEW Interim Women's Championship match. Toni Storm versus Hikaru Shida. I could have about this match. I don't know how the crowd was there.
Did you not hear us? Like, half the crowd was chanting, "Let's go, Tony." The other half was chanting, "Let's go, Shida."
Well, who is the half that's cheering for Shida, actually?
I want to know.
Like, but where are you getting this backing from? I don't have the same sentiment for her. I never have.
If you notice, if you like pay attention to the match, like the crowd's hot at the beginning and there's Storm and Shida chants going, and then it like stops for a little bit because the match was kind of, you know, all right, and then we started doing the chants again for "Let's go Storm, let's go Shida," and there was interference, right? Is that what happened?
I don't know. I didn't notice anything weird.
I thought Baker and them came down.
They did. But they did that, didn't they do that? Oh, they did that after she got pinned,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah.
So Tony after Tony, she spiked Shida with the Storm Zero, which was really...
I lost you again, bro.
Oh, hang on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, good. Sorry, there's so much going on. Change. Well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll get that figured out.
We got Jamie Hayter attacked Toni Storm after the match.
Jamie Hayter got me after any match.
And then Britt Baker came out, and I guess she got booed. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, she was wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey, and we're in Cincinnati, and that's their...
Oh, yeah. So she was getting the cheap heat.
Yeah.
And Soraya. She charged at Baker and actually attacked her, which gave us good confirmation that she's going to be wrestling soon.
Yeah.
I'm thinking. So, yeah, there was a lot going on after that.
Somebody came out after Soraya, though, didn't they?
Oh, Riho did. Oh, and who cares about Riho? Was the crowd into Riho at all?
They were, actually, which really surprised
That's
me.
That's so weird, man. Yeah, why?
They popped hard for real. Which I'm like, really weird, because Soraya, I think, would be like your top face.
And yeah.
To have Riho come out afterwards. I think Riho and Jamie Hayter fight this week, I think, on Dynamite, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't get AEW fans lately, man. I really don't.
Some of them piss me off. I love all of them, but some of them really piss me off. And some of them are just like, whatever. But anyway, yeah. Soraya got a huge pop. Riho got a really huge pop, which was really weird. Toni Storm got a huge pop. All the women were over. It was just kind of a...
It was not that great of a match, I didn't think. Honestly, I was just like, who cares about this match?
It was all right, but then you had all the shenanigans at the end just to get the people out there in front of the crowd. So,
yeah. Well, it's then we had Renee Paquette finally doing an interview. She's backstage with FTR. Dax and Cash talk about how they've been wanting to be AEW World Champions for quite some time now. And they want to be two-time AEW World Champions. Swerve in Our Glory comes and interrupts. And they next week, I guess it's for a number one contendership.
Yes, sir. The crowd for FTR. I was really hoping I got to see them come out to the ring. And they...
That'd be hard.
And they booed Swerve. Swerve's going to be one of the top heels. I'm calling it now. And I'm telling you, he's going to be world champion in like a year and a half. I'm just telling you, it's going to happen.
But I swear, the guy could just look at the camera and just get, just draw the hate. And I like the way that he does it with swagger and charisma. And he has everything that a good heel needs.
Match this Wednesday. That's going to be a banger. I think you're going to see Lee. I think what's going to happen is you're going to see Lee and Swerve. Like, somehow one of them costs the other one the match, and then them two start getting to a feud where they fight at whatever.
Hopefully we do, because of the way Tony's been booking shit lately, it's been like molasses. Yeah. It's either like way too slow, or he hits it way too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't he just make a decision already and just, I don't know. He's frustrating me.
It's like I've been complaining about for fucking however long we've been doing this podcast. The fucking FTR has been the number one contender forever and ever. And other people keep getting title matches. And I know that under Tony's booking, they've gotten three champions from other companies. Ooh. Oh, that's another thing. I don't know if you noticed that the last taping, The Kingdom came out. Bennett, Tarvin, and Maria Kalalis came out. They're going to be challenging... FTR for the ROH titles at the next ROH pay-per-view, which will be December 10th in Texas.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I'm really not invested that much in ROH. Unless I have to be held hostage by the show.
Well, it'll be cool because you'll see FTR and Jericho and others on the card. But that's
true. Yeah.
All right, I'll do the next.
All right, we had backstage Jay Lethal challenged Darby Allin to a rematch.
This made no fucking sense at all.
It didn't make any sense. Not only that, but Sanjay said he knew Darby's weakness, and Darby and Lethal began to fight all of a sudden. Never mentioned what the weakness was, because I was waiting for that. Like, what's okay?
The week before, they shook fucking hands. Now he's beating him up in the back and then doing a figure four underneath the fucking garage door.
Yeah. It didn't play well on this side of the camera.
Yeah, it wasn't well received in the crowd, I'll say that.
Yeah, then we had Tony Schiavone in the ring with William Regal. And before Regal could speak, we had MJF come out. He cut the promo of a time again.
I was so glad I was there for this. This is something I'll remember for the rest of my life. It was so good.
Oh, man. Can't even... So, basically, he covered over how Regal and him had a meeting when he was in NXT and he was 19. And they had a chance to audition from his wrestling school, and they're like, okay, cool. And here's your shot, bud. And Regal took him aside and told him, you got something special. Why don't you send me a video every month? And he did that. And he got around to month three, I think, to where Regal was like, okay, you got to back off, kid. Here's the news. And it just got intense.
It was so good. Like, the crowd was... They were really behind MJF. MJF got probably the hugest pop of the night. And the thing that
Which I think he needs to be face very soon.
I think he will. I think after he wants the belt, something like that. But anyway.
I never think that I would see him face, but at this point, I would love to see him face.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's gonna have to be. The crowd loves him no matter what he says right now. It's kind of like back when Heel Punk was like favorite, cheered and booed because he was so good on the mic and so good in the ring. Like, you loved him even though you wanted to hate him too. But
right,
here's the thing that what makes pro wrestling special: when it's real, and then you can turn it into a work. And that's why Bucks and I figured out this was just so good. It was a once in a lifetime promo. Being there live, it was so great. Just the crowd was like hanging on every, because like if you watch the promo when MJF starts talking and talking about what Regal did to him, the crowd's behind Regal or behind MJF, and when Regal gets the mic, they start booing. But then Regal starts talking about how when, you know, he was 16,
yeah,
beat up, and then the crowd started getting behind Regal again.
Regal then, got the crowd right behind him, right. Which I thought, good God, Regal is such a master of the craft. Look at what he did.
Do you want to know what I think is going to happen?
What's your prediction?
That at, what's the next pay-per-view? It's Full Gear, right? Full Gear is the next pay-per-view?
Yeah, it's Full Gear.
Yeah, I predict that MJF wins the world title by William Regal hitting Jon Moxley in the face with brass knucks, and they become the biggest heels again back in this company.
Well, that would be great.
Just my thought.
I think you're shooting for the moon there, though. I don't think that'll happen.
No, look, I will put my word on the line that I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
MJF doesn't want to be a face, and he wants to play the heel role. And when
I know that's what he wants, but I mean, maybe I'm giving Tony Khan a little bit too long of a tow rope here. But maybe if Tony opens his vision a little bit, he could see him as a face.
But here's the thing. Do you know, like, what they used to say back in the day in the old wrestling territories? Do you know when is the right time to turn somebody heel?
Never.
No. When they're the hottest thing in the company. Because you have everybody cheering for this guy. And then if he does something so dastardly, so bad. And what would be more dastardly than Regal not hitting him with the diamond ring, but hitting Moxley with the brass knucks. And then he would have nuclear heat because you have all these people that want to cheer for this guy, and then he does something so heelish and bad that you're like, well, you know what? Fuck this motherfucker. And then he will have so much heat, it'll be insane.
Stop seeing William Regal smiling so much. I don't like his smile.
I like that evil smile. I like it.
I don't like it. That's what I don't like about it. Well, that's what I like about it, is that I don't like it.
Yeah, but this, like, was...
You're just not supposed to be this way, Regal. Don't smile.
This was worth the price of admission for my ticket, for me being there, just to be there and say,
That was a great crowd.
It was just... to be there live. And just to feel the crowd and feel the, it was so good.
You just wanted to know how Regal was going to turn it, and Regal turned out like fucking people were cheering him at the end, and he's a pro. The guy just knows what to say, how to say it, and when to say it.
So good,
really good. Then we got Renee Paquette. Once again in the back. See, this is they're putting her in the role of where Tony Schiavone used to be a couple weeks ago.
Well, see, I'm fine with that, but I did not like this at all, and it didn't go over well in the crowd. It was pretty stupid.
But we got Wheeler Yuta and Bryan Danielson. Sorry. God. Here we go. And Danielson said he was disappointed he lost to Jericho. Bryan said he's got a lot of high hopes for Garcia, and Yuta just looked all pissed off and everything, and Yuta just goes off on him and says, look, me and Claudio get it, and everybody else does. He was going to turn on you from the moment you said anything to him, and I don't know, it was okay.
No, it was fucking stupid. It was like he was like a jealous boyfriend of a girlfriend wounded over another guy. And I hate it. And if it's Danielson doing his own booking, then you know what? Okay. But the way they fucking booked this guy has just been fucking horrible. And you couldn't hardly hear in the crowd. I don't know if it was meant that way or where
it was normal on air, honestly. Yeah.
We couldn't really hear a whole lot, so we just kind of seen like them getting mad at each other, but I thought it was stupid. It didn't make no sense. And I know that this Wednesday, Claudio and Wheeler versus Jericho and Garcia, but it was just like, oh, whatever, dude. I was over it.
They need to steer away from it.
Yeah.
Right now. And next, we had the ROH World Championship match, where we had, now he's called the Ocho, Chris Jericho.
I love it. I love it. I love everybody.
Ocho.
Yeah, I love it.
We got ROH World Six-Man Tag Team Champion Dalton Castle with the boys.
How about
he had a few more boys than usual.
But how about that entrance? He used like the Cody Rhodes tunnel up.
Oh my god.
It was so cool, dude. It was so cool to see live.
The entrance was amazing. Dalton Castle needs to be AEW. I'm sorry.
He will be.
He's too good. Yeah. But this match was too good for the show it was on. Yeah. I don't know.
It was cool because the last time they came to Cincinnati, it was, like I said, it was right after Punk had his first match. Jericho wasn't there. So to be able to be in a live and sing Judas, it was so cool. I had so much fun doing that. And then seeing the castle entrance, oh my god. Like, people were in awe. They were like, what the hell? It made him look like a legit superstar.
He had like eight boys there, and then he like had them all like cascaded like a stair steps, and he was stepping on their backs, and he said, I don't know if you heard him, he's like, excuse me, boys, I got a championship to win.
That's what's up.
He did that.
That's awesome.
I was just like, man, Dalton Castle has got some shit that people need to see. They need to see.
Oh, yeah. It was so good. So good. The match was good, except for, I don't know if this came across on TV, but when they did the spot where Castle kept throwing the boys outside to Hager, and then they took his hat, and then he said, I want my hat back. There was a part where the boys were swinging at Hager, and you could see where the punches weren't even hitting him. Like, they were missing by, like, a foot. And it looked so bad.
Oh, I couldn't see that.
It was so bad live. Like, I had people looking at me like, what the fuck? I don't know.
Actually came across good. They probably did enough cutaways.
Probably. But Hager, I cracked up with Hager saying, I want my hat. I like this hat. This is my hat. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, with the purple hat.
And then, I like at the beginning, they tried to do the honor system, and then Castle reached into his pants and then flicked off Jericho, and then they went to the match. And Jericho actually won this match clean, which was really weird.
Yeah, they mentioned that at the end, too.
But it was so cool.
It's what I noticed, and whoever the commentator is for Ring of Honor.
It's Ian Riccaboni, and you're like echoing really loud. I don't know what's going on, but
sorry, I had to move between rooms.
It's like a big lot. But it was so cool. It was so cool. It was such a great match between two great professional wrestlers, and it was really cool. People were behind Jericho. People were behind Castle. It was great, and I want to see Jericho. See, what I want to happen is Jericho keep beating Ring of Honor people, and then when Punk comes back, he beats Jericho for the title.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, sorry about that, everybody.
Now I can't hear you. Now I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Right. Sorry, I was chasing cats through the house. Because they're being little shits.
But yeah, that was a great match. I was glad I got to see that match live.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought this, like I said, it was the match of the night to me. It was Ian Riccaboni. And
but what was so bad was the tombstone pile driver he did was so bad.
They turned the camera just in time.
Oh, thank God, because it was like he was giving... It was like he was dropping his grandma down to go to sleep at night. It was so bad.
Because I noticed that they changed it just at the time of impact. And you took... I was going to ask you about that. And I'm glad you reminded me. Like, how
about... So bad. I actually think people start booing because it was so bad. It looked horrible.
Yeah. Well,
it looked like I was laying my kid down to sleep for bed. Like, it was that bad.
So do you think Jerry Lynn will be fighting Jericho at all?
No, I think he was just trying to prove a point. Like, he, like, because
I was just wondering if you see Jerry Lynn back in a ring. I don't want to see him back in a ring, honestly.
I think you'll probably hear at the next Dynamite or something that he, like, hurt his neck really bad and he's hurt for a while or whatever. Yeah, I don't think we'll see Jerry Lynn.
Right. And then we got, like, the fourth match. See, there was not very many matches this time.
Not at all. Not at all. And I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that, too, because there wasn't too much... there wasn't too many promos, too many backstage stories.
I want more backstage stuff and, like, less matches to, like, promote the matches, but... One thing that the crowd was really pissed off about, we got no Acclaimed, we got no Ricky Starks, we got no Hobbs, we got no Jungle Boy, there was a bunch of people we didn't even see at this match.
Well, you got the Acclaimed announcing, what were they announcing? Let me go back here in my note.
You couldn't hear a word they were saying. It was the match with that happened on Rampage, the Trademark versus the titles.
Yeah.
But
it was no good anyway.
Oh, and that's another thing. Here's some more news for you, but let me drop this first. The sound kept cutting in and out, so we could like hear Billy Gunn speak, and sometimes we couldn't. But this happened too. This is some news. I'm glad you brought this up. But Billy Gunn was supposed to be at the DX anniversary, the 25 year anniversary they did on Raw, and a lot of people gave Tony Khan some shit at the beginning, saying why didn't Tony Khan let Billy Gunn go? Tony Khan had told WWE that he wanted either A, they referenced Billy Gunn as being an AEW wrestler, or they wanted an AEW graphic by his name when he came out.
And they were like, no to either of them?
Yep, they said no.
Oh my God, that's just petty bullshit there. Yep. Man.
No, that's not the man. That's Hunter. That was Hunter's
fault. Well, it's under Hunter, but I think that's McMahon.
No, he's so far away from the company. It's not funny right now. But anyway,
yeah, but that's why.
Oh, I know. No, it's fact. But yeah, he can't be. That's the problem. He can't.
Why would they not? I would have granted it. I'd have said sure.
Well, they did the same thing. They did the same thing with Mickie James when she was in the Rumble. They said she was from Impact. Yeah. But I think they think AEW is too big of a threat that they didn't want people to know where to go find Billy Gunn. So, because Billy Gunn's over. So,
oh my God. Yeah, he is.
But that's why he wasn't there. So,
got it. Well, then we had our final match, which was kind of a disappointment. Kind of a relief. I don't know. It depends on how you look at it. It's the AEW World Championship match, Jon Moxley versus Hangman Adam Page.
I like how you texted me and you're like, are they booing Page? And I'm like, yeah, we were booing the fuck out of Page.
Yeah, I thought they were in good.
Well, Moxley's the hometown boy, so.
And, well, there was nothing to be excited about here.
Yeah, it was a cold match. It was like, the only thing was just because Moxley did a bunch of interviews around the Cincinnati area before this aired, and he was talking about it and stuff like that. But the crowd was so pro Moxley, it was so insane. But like, Paige did that jump off the fucking tunnel.
Yeah,
that was sick. That was kind of close to where I was at, and then it was really weird.
That was sweet. Yeah, what do they call it? The Insanhari or something.
And like, Paige was kind of working heel because he was taking the booze from the crowd. And it was a good back and forth match as it could be. And then bad happened.
Yeah, I don't know what was it while he was selling the clothesline?
Well, when he took the clothesline, he always does like the flip around.
Yeah.
He didn't get the flip, so he landed on his head. He was knocked out instantly. So
he looked in bad shape.
I thought we were gonna get a cash in. Here's what I would have done. I would have had MJF cash in and beat Moxley in Cincinnati and then have the rematch at Full Gear. But because they kept showing MJF up on the screen up at the press box and then he was gone. When it happened, somebody looked at me because I figured they were gonna stop like 5 minutes before the hour so they could do the MJF Moxley whatever.
Right.
When it happened, there was still like 12 minutes of TV time. And
yeah, that's what I was saying. I paused. I'm like, holy shit, there's a lot of time happening here.
Well, the Titantron, like they have for the events, like that was showing all the action, went blank. And then somebody looked at me and they're like, is he really hurt? I'm like, nah, this is just a word to get him out of the ring. And then they threw up the X and then they started taking down the bottom ropes. And I will give the city of Cincinnati their props. We were booing the fuck out of Hangman Page. But when they were putting him onto the stretcher and they were taking him out of the ring, we started doing a cowboy shit chant. And he gave us a thumbs up.
Yeah. So
we were a little happy about that. But
well, that Oliver mentioned that. He said that Cincinnati was such a classy city.
Oh, did he really?
He said they were really classy doing that.
Well, people were scared because at first, like I said, I thought it was a work. And then when I saw them start undoing the bottom ropes so they could slide him out, I knew something had went wrong. And I don't care how much you hate somebody or how much you don't like a wrestling personality or you like their character, you never want to see anybody get hurt. And hey, man, as much as he might be stupid in the business and does stupid shit, he does have a family. He is an ex-school teacher. From all the facts, he doesn't know when he does dumb shit. He's just still young to the business. People were generally worried. Like, I seen people really, like, freaking out. Like, what had happened. Because we didn't know. We didn't know if, like, he was concussed. If he, like, had a neck injury. Was he...
Well, I don't think anybody knew. It was just, like, so sudden.
But it was cool when we started chanting cowboy shit. And then we got a little thumbs up. It was like, okay, cool. And then Moxley started cutting a promo. I don't know how many cuss words went live on TV, but he was dropping F-bombs and all kinds of other shit.
And they heated a lot of them out. They did.
He was cussing like a fucking sailor. So then MJF comes out, and they do the thing where he says he's going to fight him in Full Gear, blah, blah, blah. And then he left. And then Dynamite went off the air. Moxley started cutting a promo about how he wants to make Cincinnati a wrestling town again. Event too, but he said he wants to make this a wrestling town. He wants to bring pay-per-views here. He wants to bring top cards here. This was his home bank arena. And then Ryan Namath music hit.
Oh, Ryan Namath. Yes.
Well, so first Claudio and Wheeler came out and they're celebrating with Moxley in the ring. And Moxley's cutting his promo. So then Ryan Namath's music hits, which is Dolph Ziggler's brother, who they are from Cleveland, which is a big rival football sports town to Cincinnati. So right. This is up there. Ryan Namath comes out and he's like, oh, I'm here in Cleveland Junior. And he like starts dissing Cincinnati and talking shit. He gets in the ring and then Moxley hits him with the Death Rider. And then Claudio picks him up and swings him for like, dude, I think we counted to like 60. And just
dude's
spun him.
Strong.
Just spun him and spun him and spun him and spun him. And then Moxley, you know, thank everybody for coming out. And thanks for watching Dynamite. Thanks for supporting AEW. And then that was the show.
Well, wow. I would have to rate this one a 3.0 myself.
You know, I'm probably a little biased. So I'm going to give it a 4 just because I was there. The crowd was
high. I figured since you were there and everything, it reads completely different when you're live.
Yeah. One thing I'll say is Dynamite puts on a great show live. I'll just say the crowd was hot for everything. It was great. The only thing I think during the women's match, we got a little tired and kind of went out a little bit just because it was like a long, boring match. But
I just think it was a terrible women's match. I I'm getting increasingly upset at Tony Khan for not knowing how to book these women. He's got such a huge roster.
I think he has too huge of a roster.
Yeah, but he only falls upon like three different female wrestlers. It's either Sheeta or not. If Riho's going to be back in the picture, count me out.
Tony Storm has wrestled a match on Dynamite for like the last 12 weeks. Like, she's been on like every Dynamite, which is crazy. But I hope he starts listening to Ciara and Miley, you know, Carnarvon, however you say her name. I hope we can kind of get this women's division back on track.
Oh, yeah. I forget. How do you say her name?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. We'll say it wrong. But I'm going to give, and I don't really do this, so this is probably going to be a surprise. I'll give the wrestler of the night to Moxley just because he was so over. And which was really weird is because the last time they were here, like I keep mentioning, it was the Dynamite after Punk's debut. We were at the UC men's basketball, or I guess men's and women's basketball, where they play basketball. And there was almost 7,000. Now, this time we were at Heritage Bank Center, which holds like 14,000. And there was only like less than 5,000 people there.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah, well, I would have to give my wrestler of the night to Dalton Castle.
Dude, it was so cool seeing him live and just seeing the entrance. And it was amazing, bro. It's so different in person.
All over him. And I just don't know how else. Because, as you know, I haven't been a big ROH fan for probably the past 10 years. I've seen Dalton Castle a handful of times, and I appreciate him. But in this match, I don't know if it had to do with him being Jericho, that they brought up the A-game. He just shined for me, and I was like, this guy needs to be top.
That's where I disagree with you. I've been watching Dalton Castle for... I always knew this was a match he could do. And it wasn't that Jericho brought it out. He's always had this. But ROH just hasn't had the best talent to put in with Dalton Castle. So I think if you put it... I think his character could be like a Goldust-esque feel on a show where he can make people uncomfortable. He has the boys. But the dude can go. He can wrestle. He's great.
For at risk of sounding like too non-PC, is he a member of the LGBTQ community?
I don't know. I would have to look that up.
I would venture to say he leans towards it.
But is it just a character?
That's what I want to know. I want to know, the character? Is that him? Is that
I will do some research for that for you on that, and I'll find out.
Because you know, Effie and everything like that. Him and Effie together would be great.
And to me, it doesn't really matter if he is or isn't. It's just a great character.
Yeah, he pours it out. He's like the Liberace of pro wrestlers.
But being there, I was a little sad because I went with my buddy and his son and another friend and. The kid really wanted to see the Acclaimed, and we didn't get to see them live. And there were so many talent we didn't get to see. Like, I almost wish there was a Rampage taping afterwards, so maybe we could have saw some other people. But it was a good show. It was just.
Do they do Rampage? When do they do it?
They did it live Friday in Jacksonville. It was live this past Friday, and it was a good show. It was good, but. It was a great experience. I'll go see an AEW show anytime. It was really good.
That's good. I'm glad you had a good time, and I could tell you were.
Yeah, it was fun, man. We had a lot of fun, and it was cool. It went by really fast. The dark matches were cool. Like I said, Kingston got a huge pop. Claudio got a huge pop. Moxley got a huge pop. Even Jericho got a huge pop. It was a great night of wrestling. I wanted to see more people, but. I think they just wanted to put out matches just to go against NXT to see how they were going to do.
And they called it a championship or championship Tuesday or title Tuesday.
Yeah, every match is a championship match, so they called it championship Tuesday, which was really cool.
Title Tuesday or something like that.
Yeah.
So it had a special feel to it.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a good night, man. It was good. Well, so, I wanted to let you know, I've been in talks with Cincy Wrestling. We might probably be able to do that interview Friday or Saturday.
Sounds good.
All right, I'll
agree both of those days.
So you people will probably hear us drop a bonus episode on Friday or Saturday night. I'm still getting the details. We're going to start doing some interviews with some indie wrestlers from the local independent scene here in my town, from Cincy Wrestling, where Dalton Castle actually is the number one contender to the heavyweight championship. I saw him live when I was there last time, to Cody Hall, who is Scott Hall's son, who is the champion.
Really?
Yeah. He's the champion of Cincy Wrestling. Dalton Castle's the number one contender. They're supposed to fight here coming up pretty soon.
That sounds like a good matchup.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I haven't seen his son wrestle. I've heard a lot about him, a lot of buzz about him.
The last time I went to Cincy Wrestling, he won the title in a four-way with, it was James Storm from Beer Money.
Wow.
Austin
Storm.
Austin Aries. And, dang it, I can't remember the guy's name. He was in NXT.
I didn't even know Austin still wrestling.
Yeah, it was an indie booking. Larry Zbyszko was there. It was really cool. But
oh, wow.
So, once I find out more, I'll let you know. So, we'll probably be recording again Friday or Saturday.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
I'm down with it. I really enjoyed this because I wanted to hear your opinion about and how everything went. And I'm glad it was everything that AEW promises.
I had more fun at the first one just because Punk was there, of course. And
that's a hard one to top, though.
Yeah, I mean, we got the chant, "You still got it," and you know, I got to see my hero one last time. So hopefully he's not done. We'll see him again soon, and I think we will. But it was a great night, man. It was a great night.
That's great. So I guess either Friday or Saturday, we'll guys again.
Yep, I'm waiting to hear back from them. I'll let you know as soon as I do, so that way we can do a little research on who we're going to interview. But
I'm always down to do interviews with indies at all times.
Yeah, because we're kind of an indie podcast, so you know
we are.
Yeah,
sure, we are an indie podcast.
All right, bro, it's been too long. I hope you stay healthy. I hope you stay well.
Yes.
Dynamite tomorrow looks like it's going to be. Did you see the matches they announced already?
I didn't look at it just yet.
Here's one thing I don't get about AEW, and this is probably one of my.
Guess give us a rundown. Let's do a preview of it.
Guess who Moxley's fighting?
Oh no, who?
I'm going to give you one guess. I'll say it's a face. He's part of a trios team. And it's probably somebody you wouldn't think would be fighting Jon Moxley.
I don't know. Trent Beretta?
No, Penta.
Oh, gee. Well, see, Penta can always throw down on a good match, though.
So you got Penta Moxley. You got the Jericho Garcia Claudio Yuta match. I think it's Riho and Storm. And then you have FTR.
You're going Riho run. I just know it.
Yeah, probably. And then you got FTR. FTR versus Swerve in Our Glory. Number one contenders match. Like I said, I think it's Hayter and Riho. And then I think also. And then also they said we'll hear live from MJF. So that's all.
Hayter, come on. You can't do that.
I hope Hayter wins. She's so fun. She can do anything she wants to me anytime. I'm just saying.
God, she's just a superior wrestler either way, though.
Yeah.
It's just like, come on. Don't let us down like that. I don't want Riho coming back in any way, shape, or form. I think she was great during the formative years of AEW, and I think that's all we needed her for.
Well, I think that's why people think that Omega, the Bucks, will be back soon, because she's a big Omega girl. Maybe we see the return of the Elite tomorrow. I don't know. I'm just saying. And I want to say a big shout out to Kyle O'Reilly, who's having neck surgery. I hope we get to see him in a year. I hope the surgery goes well. Adam Cole. A lot of people have been asking about Adam Cole, and that's my dude. I know I've talked greatly about him. He's one of my favorite wrestlers. I met him live. Yeah. He signed autographs for me and my family. I got pictures. His concussion was really bad. He had blood on the brain, which is very serious whenever you have something like that happen with a concussion.
It's serious.
They're taking their time with him. There was some things going around Twitter that maybe he was done, but he posted a tweet the other day saying, "You've come this far to not go any farther." And actually, if I don't get to see Punk versus Jericho for the ROH title, I want to see Cole beat Jericho for the ROH title. And I hope Adam Cole has a speedy recovery. A lot of people have been talking about his personal life, which I won't do. I'll tell you off air what the rumors are. It's not pretty, and I hope it's not true.
I don't like that.
Yeah, it's not cool. And if it's true, I've lost respect for... I'll just say, if it's true, I've lost respect for... I've had a lot of...
What happened through me with Rick playing right from hell, after I heard that, I was just done with Ric Flair. I really was.
Wait,
I love Ric for that.
Wait till I'll tell you off air. I'll message you when we get off air of what's being rumored. I hope it's not true. I really, really, really hope it's not true, because then I will have lost respect for one of the top women in AEW and an older veteran in AEW. So I'll just say that. And if you wanted to really know, you could probably search like I did and find out. But I hope it's not true. I hope it's fake. But I'll message you with what I know.
Well, text me right after this while I'm editing.
I will. It's really sad if it's true. But other than that, bro, again, you can find me on Twitter at jblund23, Facebook, Jason William Blund Sr. I'm in the Unscripted Violence Room. I'm an admin. Hit me up. I want to talk wrestling with anybody. I want to thank all the listeners that we have. Thank you guys. We kind of got a little cult going, and I love it.
Yeah, it's cool. We got a little it's weird. It's like, all right.
Soon, hopefully you'll see our pretty faces on TV or on YouTube anyway. But
yeah. Well, I'm finding some. Well, we could talk about this off the air too, but yeah. I'm finding some streaming platforms that can facilitate. It's just my own lack of skill or tech.
Well, hey, I'm gonna try to get a laptop, and we'll figure it out together. Let's talk off air about it. But and I'll tell you what's the rumors going around with Adam Cole and other stuff. But other than that, man, I miss doing this. I love doing this with you, bro. This is one of the highlights of my days, because I work long hours, and then I got three kids and a woman yelling at home, and just to be able to escape into the world of professional wrestling and talk about it and do it with my best friend is a cool thing. And we're gonna look to take this higher to a higher level. You guys will be able to watch me drink shots of Fireball while we talk about wrestling, and let's go, baby. Let's go. All right,
love
man, I'll message you here in a little bit.
All right.
All right. Let's go.
Let's go. Good night.
Night.